Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
It's great to be here. I'll tell you, I've got a mouthful today. I know it's going to shock you. But I'm Bill Shear, and I want to talk to your heart today. My heart to your heart. Not unlike every other service, I think. But today, it really truly is. And I'll tell you why. Because I dearly love you. I dearly love this church. I love the church. I love everything about the church. Some of you bad attitude people, I love you. I love skeptics. I love the challenging people. I love everything that we do, all the problems we have to solve and all the rivers we have to forge, everything that we have to go through. I'm telling you, I'm consumed with it. I just love it. It's my job. It's my hobby. It's the joy of my life. I love the church, and I'll tell you, because God's gathered us here, and God has brought us here, and there's purpose about this. It's not just us cheering for a team we all root for or like, or we all have the same backgrounds, or because there's so much diversity in this church, so many different backgrounds, so many different kinds of people, and honestly, it's what we believe God for. We choose to celebrate diversity in this church. It's funny because I go to pastors' events. I was at one last week. It was dynamic in Kansas City, and had the privilege of speaking to some pastors and just listening to men speak to pastors. But I heard something years ago that really troubled me, and it paralleled churches and radio stations. And they said, a radio station can't play every genre of music, all different kinds of music. No one will listen to it if they do. You have to be specific. You have to have a target audience. As a church, we do too, and we have to have a target audience. And that never has jived with me. It still doesn't today. It's not who I am. It's not what I'm about. Paul said, become all things to all men that you might save some. I don't want to be just a segment, a sliver or slice of the pie. I want the whole pie. I want to celebrate diversity. I want people in here that have to deal with bigotry and prejudice and everything, because that's life, and that's what the church is. And God's brought us here, and He has purpose in our lives. And whatever life throws at you, whatever it is, and that's what life does. And John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy." He said, "I've come to give you life and life more abundant." The abundant life is the purpose of why we're here. And I started thinking about this, and then I began to take inventory of my life in the church, what's happened in the church. And it's funny because I wasn't raised in church. I didn't have an affinity toward church. I didn't have much of an opinion about church. The only real opinion I had about church was it's pretty lame. I don't get it. It's kind of these guys that need a crutch. And then something dynamic happened in my life. Jesus made himself real to me. It's like, shoot. I don't know if this happens to everybody, but to me, Jesus made himself real to me, and I thought, what am I going to do? Are you kidding me? I had no friends. I had no accomplices. I had no peers. I had no enemies. I had no vices. I had no habits. I had nothing about my life translated through the cross. See, because how this works is that you're here, the cross is here, and the life of God in Christ is here. You have to go through the cross to get to it. I can't take this stuff through the cross. It's like, how does this work? I have to give up everything. See, I didn't have a library card. There was nothing in my life to translate it to living this life that we have now. And I thought, what do I do? And Jesus made himself real to me, and I tried to deal with it for months. And then in a drunk tank in a Warren County, Missouri jail, I just said, that's it. I'm giving my life to Jesus. And I'll tell you what's interesting. Without any church background at all, I knew I had to get to church. And you'll say, how? I'm like, I don't know. I didn't really think it through that much. But I knew I had to go to church because I had to give my life to God. So I've taken an inventory of my life and really truly what my life is right now and how the church factors into it. I gave my life to Jesus at church. I got filled with the Holy Spirit at church. Man, this is that right there, it's like, my gosh, it's worth the price of admission. I began to live a life of faith at church. I began to trust God at church. It's how it happened. It's how it worked. And it's like, oh my gosh, I have faith now, and I think I can live a life of faith. I don't have to trust what I see. I don't have to trust how I feel. I can trust what God's word promises. Man, I began to live that life of faith. I could live beyond, and let me tell you, this projected me into a whole nother level with God, is I began to see a life, began to be able to live a life beyond what I could see, beyond what I could, what I've ever experienced, what I've ever had, what I've ever dreamt. I could live a life beyond that. Man, just capture that moment, just living a life beyond what's possible. It's like, I don't know about you guys, but that revs my engine. I'm telling you, my RPMs start, you know, there's a launch sequence in my life that happens when the RPMs get built up to that point, and man, you let off on the clutch, it's go time. Well, that happens when I began to live a life beyond what I previously could see, that I learned God's word at church. I learned that God's word was tied to my heart and tied to my life and meant for me, God's promise. I'll tell you, a huge one for me is, and I'm so thankful. To me, it's stunning how thankful I am that in church I discovered, and not only discovered, but developed, and then was able to deploy the gifting that God put in my life. It's like, oh my gosh, that I get to live the life that God meant for me to live, gifted by Him, not just my natural abilities, not just what I could successfully execute through the arm of the flesh. No, I could, you know, at church, and I'll just be candid with you. I've been married 31 years. The church strengthens my marriage. My marriage is strong because of the church. I mean, otherwise it's, well, just take your chances. See, when you come to the church, which is the house of the Lord, it's not the casino of God, it's the casa of God. It's not us hoping we're going to roll sevens every time that we need something. It's like, this is a sure thing. We've raised our kids in church. And, you know, you'll look at it and go, well, your kids aren't perfect. It's like, yeah, no duh. But just think without it. I can't imagine. I do weddings. I do funerals. Both of them, it's like, without Jesus, there's no hope. None. Man, there's hope now. I've raised my kids. We've raised our kids at church, Sandy. At the end of the day, if somebody would ask me when I was 26 or 27 and getting married and having kids, starting a new life with a married life, that they said, listen, when you're 57, you're going to have three kids, and they're going to love God, they're going to love the church, and they're going to love you. I'm like, big win right here. I win. Ding, 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 ding. Winner. Lottery. I just won. I'm telling you, that's the bottom line. That's that in itself. But then beyond that, let me just tell you something else, and this is the icing on the cake. A church, God's given me, God's built lifelong covenant relationships and friendship, covenant relationships where there's no boundaries, covenant relationships that what's His is mine, what's mine is His, what's His is mine, what's mine is His, what's hers is mine, what's mine is hers. There's something in that that it's like that lifelong covenant relationships. That it's more than, hey, bro, I can count on you. Hey, I'll be there for you. Hey, I got your back. Hey, I'm in your corner. No, it transcends all of that. See, and all that happened at church, and because God truly cares what's going on here. God cares what you're going through. That's why it's important to take inventory. It's important for you to take inventory of your life right now and look at it and say, okay, man, what about my life? Is my life right with God? Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Do I know God's word? Am I able to live beyond what I previously could see? See, because all of that stuff, those things right there are just, it's what the word refers to as the foundation and pillars of our lives. See, that's what the church gives us, is a foundation and pillars so we can build our lives. Because there's three things that this amounts to, is that the church is life-giving. It's going to challenge you, but it's going to challenge in the areas that are receding in your life, the areas that you're weak in your life. They're going to challenge those areas. Why? Because it's life-giving. It's life-changing. I'm not just here to preach a message or to speak to you. I'm here to change your life. I want you to leave here, no matter where you are in the scale of A to Z, I want you to leave here better than when you came in. Man, life-changing, life-giving, life-changing. And then there's those occasions that are just phenomenal, that are life-saving. There's people in this room that have had those life-saving experiences because of church. See, but our perception of church is all over the map. And I'm going to fix that. I'm going to clean that up for you today. That's the sole purpose of this message, is to clean up the mess, the perception and concepts of church. Because what it boils down to, and I'll just tell you, for me, for the leader, there's one thing, one objective, one single solitary objective for everything that we do here, is to give you a closer walk with Jesus. That's it. A closer walk with Jesus. You know, it's interesting because in Matthew, the 16th chapter, and you guys have heard it, it's where we get the phrase tougher than hell. But Matthew 16, that Jesus was going to his disciples and he asked Simon Barjoni, said, now, who are they saying I am out there? And he said, oh, it's all over the map. Other guys were saying, man, they're saying you're Isaiah, they're saying you're John the Baptist, saying you're a prophet, saying you're a good man, saying you're... And he said, okay, he turned to Simon, he said, Simon Barjoni, who do you say that I am? Simon, who do you say that I am? He said, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of God, you're the hope and answer. You're our redemption, you're our salvation. He just went... And Jesus said, you answer rightly, you're correct. And then he said something profound. He introduced a whole new concept to mankind. He said, you're right. And upon that rock, upon that truth, he said, I'll build my church and the gates of Hades won't prevail against it. I love that attitude. I love that statement. I love that promise. The gates of hell won't prevail against it. But listen, that the idea of this is that Jesus wasn't saying church like upon this building and the systems and the programs and the... No, he said, upon this rock, I'll build my gathering. See, that's what it was. It was just it simply was a gathering. And see, we look at it, it's like, okay, people say, well, how do I join this church? It's real easy. You're doing it today. It's like, how do I join this gathering? You're where we are. You're getting better. It's life-giving, life-changing, sometimes life-saving. Jesus went a little further in the next verse in Matthew 16, 19, where he said, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. I'll give you the keys to God's way of doing things. The gates of hell won't prevail against you. He said, I'll go so far as to tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. See, he said whatever. See, we're looking at this, and see, I go back to what I gained at church. What I got at church is a life beyond what I previously could see. Man, that term whatever, it's like, are you kidding? Now what was impossible, it redefined impossible for me at church. See, I'm telling you, this is priceless. In Isaiah, the 40th chapter, you know, it's interesting because we've heard this 1,000 times. And you think about the synonym of church as a gathering. And here we are in Isaiah, a type and shadow of what's to come. But Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, "But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint." We've heard that. It's poetic. It's like rhythmic. It's we love it. It just rolls off your tongue. But it doesn't hit the mark. The translation was shallow. We go back to what's in the original text. We go back to the Hebrew translation of this. But those who, it's actually, now listen, those who gather together before the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings like eagles, shall run and not grow weary, and walk and not faint. Those who gather before the Lord. Jesus said, upon this gathering I will build, upon this rock I will build my gathering. Man, we gather together, we come together, we assemble together. Don't neglect the gathering or the assembling of yourselves together, which isn't wise, yet some still do. See, because there's a deceiver out there, and what the deceiver's going to do, there's two things the deceiver's going to mess with you in your life about. And those two things are temptation and accusation. Those two things. God is never going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you can stand. You never have to fall prey to, we never have to fall prey to temptation. For God will always give us an avenue of escape. And that avenue comes through his promise, comes through his word. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. That avenue of escape comes through God's promise, comes through God's word. Man, the devil, our adversary, is the accuser of the brethren. So temptation and accusation are the two things. But see, what God's called all of us, God's called his church to be a gathering, okay? What God's called us to be is gatherers. See, the two things, let me tell you what makes up a great family, what makes up a great church are just two dynamics, is gathering and connecting. It's connection. I'm just telling you, man, Sandy is, I live with her, I know her. I know her priorities. I know what's important. It's that connection. She wants our kids to be connected. She wants to be connected. Those connection, man, we need connection points. We need to make sure. We need to gather and connect. Gather and connect. Man, you come in here and you visit. Man, we've got a welcome center in the back. Why? We want to just connect with you. Man, if you get done and I say, okay, somebody says, man, as you go, preach. And everybody, man, I'm telling you, man, you got your stuff and you got four points of contact. You're not going to fumble anything. You're running. You're stiff arming. You're going to make it to your truck. We're going to get people in your way. We're going to make it hard for you just to run to get in your truck and get to the lubies. So understand that. It's about gathering and connecting. And here, because here's what God's heart is for us. God's heart for us is that God gathers us to extend his reach. That's why it's important for there to be diversity in the church. That's why it's important for us to be accepting of people, yet, listen, not celebrating any lifestyle or any sin, but accepting people. We're not going to judge. We're not going to condemn. We're going to forgive and we're going to give. That's it. If you're coming in here thinking, yeah, this is church, they're going to judge me, we you're going to be disappointed. We are not going to judge you. I'm just telling you, I know this man. If you have done, you've not done anything like what he's done. He can't judge you as much as he wants to. Man, it's in his makeup. It's like, look, because he's smart and he's diligent. He's like, but we can't judge. Bob, we can't judge people. We can't be critical of people. My gosh, if you knew what I, shoot, you'd have to live a little bit longer. You'd have to sleep a little bit less to mess up as much as I did. So I can't judge, I can't condemn. So what do you do if you can't do those things? Because they're fun to do. Being judgmental is pretty fun. Condemning people, that's fun. Oh, that guy, fry him. No, what do? We forgive and we give. See, what that is, that's attractive to people. Come as you are. That was the adage of the church. Remember, Sandy? Man, come as you are. You don't have church clothes? Come on, remember, Tyler? Man, just come as you are. Man, bring your friends. Yeah, but they're rowdy. Oh, good, because our services are going to be rowdy. Rowdy people come in, and they go, man, I fit in here. See, we have to look at our lives, and we have to understand a type and shadow of this is in 1 Kings, the 9th chapter. And in 1 Kings, the 9th chapter, it's interesting, it's the second time. See, Solomon built the house, the temple. He built the house of the Lord and the king's house, and it was David's plan, but Solomon got to build it. And the second time that God came to Solomon in the first through third verses, and it came to pass when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which he wanted to do, verse 2, that the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time, and as he had appeared to him at Gibeon, verse 3, and the Lord said to him, I've heard your prayer and your supplication that you've made before me. And he said this. He said, I've consecrated this house. Okay, it's a type and shadow of where we are right now, which you've built to put my name there forever. Man, I love it when, it breaks my heart when I hear in Great Britain and other places that churches are becoming mosques. The churches are closing up and becoming something they weren't built to be. And then in turn, this was a warehouse and an industrial area town that we've repurposed this to church. And I believe that's God's heart. God's repurposed me for ministry and for church. And he said this, which you built to put my name there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. His eyes and his heart are here. His eyes to see what you're going through and his heart to deliver you and help you through it. His eyes and his heart are here. And then Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, you know, if I'm delayed at all, if I can't get to you, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. And then he clarified it. He said, which is the church of the living God. Now listen to what he called it, the pillar and the foundation of truth. See, when we have the pillar and the foundation, we can frame our lives. We can build our lives. The Bible says the worlds were framed by the word of God. I want my life to be framed by his word. But the church provides the foundation and the pillars. Life-giving, life-changing, life-saving. You know, I've got an interesting little thing that I don't know that I can directly back it up in the word. I think I indirectly can. I can use some smoke and mirrors and maybe get there. So I'll just tell you, it's kind of a vision I have in my heart of heaven. That a vision I have in my heart of heaven is, you know, you go from life to life and you hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. And then you come to a list. And the list is everybody who is on your account. You know, I remember when I met Eric and I thought, man, I believe Eric was on my account. There's other people that are out of the church. There's heathen. There's outlaws. There's people that are out there that, man, I've got such a heart and affinity for. And you'll say, why do you have such a heart for them? Because I think they're on my account. And I don't want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, and then see that account and names that are omitted from the Lamb's Book of Life. I want those names in that book. I want those names. I want to make sure. But see, so what has God done? God has extended our reach because with me, I know what I can do. But with us, nothing's impossible. I'm just telling you. But we have to begin to see. We have to be able to live beyond what we previously could see. And then we get to a platform scripture that we live by. Just overseeing this church is Psalm 92:12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Look at the first four words of this staple, this platform scripture in this church. The righteous shall flourish. The righteous shall flourish. The definition of flourish here in Psalm 92 is to grow and perpetually increase. to grow and continually increase. The righteous shall flourish. Say that a couple times. The righteous shall flourish. Say it again. The righteous shall flourish. And you'll go, yeah, man, when I get righteous, man, I'm gonna flourish. I got to get some stuff right. I got to get, we think about it. It's like, yeah, I'm going to come to church, but I got to get some things cleaned up. I got to get my life cleaned up before I come to church. No, you can't. See, that doesn't work. There's no self-help out there. We can't help ourselves. That's why God had to send Jesus. See, so you look at now with Jesus, I got my help I need. I'm on the right track. But the righteous shall flourish. The righteous shall flourish. To flourish is you grow and continually increase. How do you get there? You can't get there of yourself. There's no righteousness without Jesus. But with Jesus, we're all made righteous. No matter what you've done, no matter what your baggage is, no matter what the residue of sin that's in your life, no matter the horrendous past that you have, what you have gone through, I'm just telling you, it has all been washed clean by the very blood of Jesus. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall grow and continually increase in the courts of our God. And even in old age, they will be fresh and growing and continually, perpetually increasing. See, that's what God promised. That's what Psalm 92, 12, 13, and 14 is. But see, we can't do it of ourselves. See, what the church is designed to do, it's this isn't a teaching center. Even though there's teaching that goes on here. See, what this is, it's like you see a ball player. I was watching a guy, Cardinals got beat yesterday by the Cubs, but I'm watching on TV, a relief pitcher in the eighth or ninth inning had already warmed up. He was already warm and ready to go. And he had his glove on, and he had a ball in one hand, and his glove on his hand, and he's taking that ball, and he's just throwing it into that glove, and he's grabbing it just like this. He's looking up in the stands, and he's looking at the scoreboard, and he's looking out in the field, and he's just doing it. And you know what he's doing? He's not breaking that glove in. That glove is broken in. He's getting his hand ready. You'll see guys that go, okay, man, they got that ball glove on, man, and they're just hitting it with their fist. Why? They're not breaking that glove in. They're getting their hand. That's what your hand feels like when that ball hits it. I'm getting my hand ready to catch whatever's coming. That's what church is. This isn't so much taught as it's caught. It has to be caught. Man, there's places you get distracted. There's things that happen. You know, you'll say, well, my gosh, I want my baby in here. Yeah, I want your baby in here too. But you know what? I can't compete with your baby. If your baby's screaming, I mean, there's something about a baby's scream that you can't duplicate and you can't win against it. But if your baby's cute, on the other hand, it still is. Look here, not very cute. That little baby, very cute. I lose every time. But you know what I look at it is what we've got to do is everything we do in here. The reason I come down off the stage, the reason I change the inflection of my voice, the reason I'm passionate about coaching you is that I want to eliminate the distractions. Because I know that there's distractions that come into your life while you're at church. You know, you sit back as far as you want because it's like, I want to be careful. No, I'm telling you, man, you got to get as close. You got to do everything you can to eliminate every distraction you're going to get. Because you know what? You may miss it. Man, I was watching the Ole Miss game last night. Man, there's a guy that's wide open. He's looking. He looks away from the ball at a guy that's going to hit him. And what happens? He drops the ball. Man, it's like, no, I don't want to be that guy. It's like, okay, everybody, let's get ready. Because you're gonna hear the word. Man, just listen. You know, it's funny. I want to park every car and seat every person. And there's studies out there. They'll say, you know, there's people out there, mostly affluent people. They don't want to have their car parked. They don't want to be told where to. It's like, yeah, I get it. I understand. Why do we park every car and seat every person? Why do we lead you in music? Why do we put the lyrics up? You'll say, man, just let me hear it. Man, I've listened to music all my life. I pick up the songs. No, we want to lead you through everything. You know why? Because when you get to this place right now where you're being led in the instruction of God's word, you're used to being led now. It goes from the parking lot through the front door to where you're seated through the music, through the offering, and then you get to the word where now you're like, look, I'm just ready to follow. Follow what? Follow God's promise and follow God's word. I learned how to follow in the church. What we are, let me just tell you what we are. We're leaders, sure. but we're followers of Jesus. And until you learn how to be led, you're not going to be able to follow. You know what Paul said? And I'll as graciously as I can, I'll say, follow me as I follow Christ. Man, everything that I'm saying, check it through the Word. Man, find out for yourself. Find out for yourself that in Isaiah 40, verse that it says, those who gather before the Lord shall renew their strength. Find out for yourself. Don't take my word. I'm right. But make it personal. You don't know when your life depends upon it. The Bible says, take God's word and hide it in your heart. Take that word, those four words, the righteous shall flourish. Mace, take those four words and hide them in your heart. You never know when you're going to need them. You never know when they're going to be appropriate in your life. The righteous shall flourish. Man, you get into situations where the odds are so stacked so much against you. Man, Megan, odds are stacked against you. The righteous shall flourish. We're going to grow and perpetually increase. That's crazy. Yeah, it is. Unless I hadn't been at church and I hadn't caught that promise that God showed me I could live beyond what I saw. Oh my gosh, it's emotional for me right now to think about it. God opened up this whole new world to me. These scales came off my eyes. It's like, there's more with us than there are with them. The righteous shall flourish. Is your life right with God? Then you're righteous. Your sins are forgiven and remitted like they never happened. Are you righteous? Then you flourish. What does flourish mean? You got to grow. Man, do you understand as a Christian, you have a responsibility to grow? Do you understand as a believer in Jesus, you have a responsibility not to say, well, you know, I don't have any faith for money. I've got faith for health, but I don't have any faith. Stop saying stuff like that. I'm telling you, you know what you say? The righteous shall flourish. I'm growing and perpetually and continually increasing. And my faith is strong. And I am learning. And I'm getting stronger in the Lord. I'm stronger in the Lord and the power of His might. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm telling you, that scripture changed my life. You know why? I went to church and confessed Jesus to people. I went to church and came up to an altar and said, God, I give you my life.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.